The Space Science Board of the National Academy of Sciences has released a report recommending what is called the Grand Tour of the Outer Planets of the Solar System during one of the rare opportunities that this can be done with relatively low boost energy in the late 1970s. Dr. James A. Van Allen is co-chairman of the committee which made up a report and issued these recommendations. Dr. Van Allen, I wonder if you could just review for us how the report came about.
There's been quite a strong scientific interest throughout the country for a number of years in sending unmanned instrumented missions to the outer planets, that is those Jupiter and beyond, during the first available opportunity. Now, we've promoted and planned and now have actually going two missions to Jupiter in 1972 and 73 using this small so-called Pioneer class spacecraft. Now, these, if successful, will be the first ones to pass through the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter and go on out to Jupiter.
Now, these are strictly unmanned scientific instrumented satellites spacecraft.
That is correct. We do not contemplate at this date any manned expeditions in this part of the solar system.
How long would it take for such craft to get from the Earth to Jupiter and then go on to the other planets?
Well, the trip to Jupiter is a little under 2 years with the present propulsion schemes. Now, using the... we're very eager, of course, to go on out to Saturn and Uranus, Neptune, on out to Pluto, and in fact get the missions which escape from the solar system. That's one scheme. And there's an especially favorable astronomical opportunity in the late 1970s, about 1977 to 79, for doing these multiple planet missions.
And that's what has come to be known as the Grand Tour, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
What does that mean?
The idea here is that with a single spacecraft, we can make at least four planets in one mission and make successive flybys. For example, in 1977, it's practical with existing propulsion systems to send about a 1,200-pound spacecraft from the Earth past Jupiter, past Saturn, past Pluto, and escape from the solar system. And in 1979, we can make the Earth, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune multi-planet missions with a single spacecraft.
Now, this is taking advantage of the proximity of the various planets, which occurs only once every 170 to 200 years, doesn't it?
That's correct. They're not necessarily close to each other, of course, but they're arranged in a sort of an astronomical geometry, so to speak, which is a fortuitous situation.
Which allows one spacecraft to go from one to the other?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And also greatly reduces the flight time to the outer planets. For example, we can go out to Pluto in about 8 years flight time. If we shot for Pluto as a single target, it'd require about 30 years.
Dr. Van Allen, the use of the planets for this sort of flyby involves taking advantage of the gravitational pull of each planet in order to swing the spacecraft from one to another, doesn't it?
Yes, that's correct. That's a vital part of the Grand Tour idea.
And how is this done? Is it just utilizing gravity? Are they in a straight line or what?
No, they're not at all in a straight line, but they're generally in the same quarter of the sky, so that if you pass the Jupiter is actually pivotal in this whole scheme. If one flies by Jupiter, it's possible to have a large deflection because of the large mass of Jupiter, but most importantly, one takes advantage of the fact that Jupiter is a moving object. And this makes it possible to redirect the spacecraft, change its velocity markedly by a near flyby. Now, by a proper choice of impact parameters, we call it, or where you fly with respect to the planet, one can redirect the trajectory so as to fly over the pole of the sun, for example. Or you can pick up speed in such a way and change direction in such a way that you can escape from the solar system when otherwise one would not have been able to do so.
Well, this gravitational deflection is also utilized in speeding the craft on toward Pluto there.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's an important part of the matter, and one can greatly reduce the flight time to the outer planets by means of this technique. For example, in going to Pluto by a direct flight, I believe it's about a 30-year mission. If one utilizes a flyby of Jupiter, he can reduce that time to about 7 or 8 years. So in terms of one's lifetime, it makes a tremendous difference of how it's done. And obviously in terms of the progress of science, one can have successive missions taking advantage of previous knowledge on a much more rapid time base.
We're a long way from having the capability of sending man on such long trips.
That's correct. That's not at all realistic to contemplate in the present, I would even say the present century. Although there might be a difference of opinion on that, certainly we cannot realistically contemplate that during the next 20 years.
Well, Dr. Van Allen, using the advantageous proximity of the planets during the late 1970s, what scientific goals does the Space Science Board recommend that we pursue?
Well, there's an immense variety, of course, and a very great diversity of opinion about what the most important goals are. But it's quite clear that each one of these planets is a total new object. If you think of never having seen the Earth before and trying to think what you'd like to know about the Earth, I think you can realize what kind of a problem we think about when we think about close passes, by a new planet, first time to make observations close to the planet, the possibility of sending probes into the atmosphere, the possibility of establishing orbiters around the planets. So that's the general framework of thought in which we're thinking about this. Now, clearly we want to know the mass, the size, the shape of the planets with much better accuracy than it can ever be done from the Earth. We'd like to study the composition, that is the molecular composition of their atmospheres. We'd like to find their magnitudes of their magnetic fields, the kinds of particles and the numbers of particles that are trapped in their magnetic fields, as in the radiation belts of the Earth. Not the least of the interest is in making measurements through the interplanetary medium, that is this thin, tenuous gas which permeates the whole solar system en route and beyond the planets.
Do you have the sensors and the technical equipment now to do all these things, or do you anticipate development of some of these by the mid-1970s when the launches would be made?
At the present date, we do not have a set of instruments sitting on the shelf, so to speak, which would be suitable. However, everything we're contemplating here in these recommendations is easily visualizable as being successfully developed during the next several years. Now, the principal problems are not of how to do these things, but of establishing the reliability of components over electronic systems and components over very long lifetimes.
What would be the overall lifetime until you got that Pluto flyby? 8 years?
About 8 years, that's correct. Although, of course, we would like to continue to operate and on all reasonable judgment could operate for many more years.
What you're implying is that you've got to develop a spacecraft and instrument systems which can repair themselves en route without much help from the Earth, I believe.
Well, that might be one way to take it. Another way is the element of so-called redundancy, the capability of having parallel ways of doing things. If, say, method number one fails, then we can switch to method number two and or set of components number two. Now, some of this can be, some of this switching can be done automatically by means of internal sensors, and one might call that in some sense self-repair, yes.
Dr. Van Allen, you gathered a distinguished group of scientists from many disciplines in drawing up your report and making the recommendation for this type of planetary exploration. I wonder if you could summarize for us the types of disciplines recommended and some of the principal views expressed by your members.
We had a very able group that worked very hard on this and brought to bear on the study a great deal of sort of personal achievement in the field of planetary science as well as a very imaginative point of view on what could be done given a new opportunity of this character. Now, the groups, we organized into several different groups. One had to do with the establishment of the dynamics of planetary atmospheres, that is, what kind of motions occur within the atmosphere, what drives these motions, what one might call the meteorology of a planet. Another group on the composition, the molecular composition of their atmospheres, what kinds of gases there are. Then we had a very able group on the question of the origin and nature of magnetic fields of planets and the possibilities for trapping of charged particles in their fields and for the emission of radio noise, as is already known for Jupiter, but could be studied much better on a near approach. Special so-called non-thermal radio emissions from the planets. There's another group on the interiors of planets, that is, what the interior composition of Jupiter is. It's reasonably accurately surmised that Jupiter is mainly hydrogen gas, and there are many things that are extraordinarily different about the outer planets than the so-called terrestrial planets. So it's scientific sense, there's a completely new ball game involved in understanding the composition, structure, and internal physics and chemistry of the outer planets. Now, as another group on cosmic radiation and on the particles emitted from the sun and the manner in which they propagate or move through the very complex magnetic field in interplanetary space and through the very thin gas that constitutes the so-called solar wind, the gas, the magnetized gas that's shot out from the sun. And one of the special interests has to do with going out beyond the solar system, and that is possible in the telecommunications sense, also in having flights which fly over the pole of the sun. This has never been approached at all before, and it's only by way of a Jupiter flyby that one can visualize doing this with any practical scheme of propulsion that we have in view at the present time. Now, we feel sure all of these things can be done. They can be done at a relatively modest cost in the framework of NASA's total mission, total budget. We can do them in the mid-70s, late-70s, early-80s.
Dr. Van Allen, I note in your report that the experiments are designed to contribute to the understanding of the origin and evolution of the solar system, the origin and evolution of life, and the dynamic processes that shape man's terrestrial environment. It sounds as though that with probes like this, you can substantially contribute to our understanding of our whole universe and ourselves within this century.
I believe that's very deeply so. I think the point of view of most of us is essentially that of astronomers. We're trying to find out what planetary bodies in our own solar system are like, and it's quite clear that from what we know at this moment that every planet is a new case. It has quite distinctive properties and is quite different than the Earth.
Thank you very much, Dr. James A. Van Allen of the University of Iowa, co-chairman of the study panel of the Space Science Board. Okay, you can stop there.